Wednesday afternoon, first day Rosh Chodesh, Tammuz, Lamed Sivan, Lady Shir Chavis Halos, Shir Yichud HaMaisa. I'll be starting in around 30 to 60 seconds. Going through the enticements of the Yetzer Hara. We're still in the early ones, which are theological, philosophical, and sometimes we may think that it's not so nogeya us, because we don't think about these things, and of course there's Hashem, and Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And who thinks that there's whatever, you know, the kinds of things he says about, that's terrible, terrible. But the truth is, you know, you say Shema Yisrael, and so that's our credo. We start off with the word Shema Yisrael, which means that we have to listen, we have to think about it, we have to hear, right? Otherwise, just what's wrong with a ringing declaration? Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Like, who are you talking to? Shema Yisrael. What are you saying? Why is that part of the declaration? Because the Chavis Halvavos would say, because you know you're talking, you have to listen, you have to hear, you have to be Mizbonein, you have to think about these things that we're talking about, and that's what it means. Listen, you know, you have to hear what's being said. So we learned the first two already. We learned a lot of things in Perikei. He gave a lot of hakdamas to make sure we approach the Yetzer Hara with the seriousness it deserves. Just to give a picture again, we're in the larger Shai Yichud HaMaisa, because ultimately we serve either HaKadosh Baruch Hu or we serve ourselves. And the Yetzer Hara is trying to get us to serve ourselves. And Shai Yichud HaMaisa is training us to do everything l'shem Hashem. And there's really no middle ground. Not really. And if we do things, and we do things for ourselves, l'shem kavod, or l'shem social standing, or l'shem embarrassment, although it's good, you know, Hashem will take it, better than nothing. And maybe mitoch shelo l'shma bo l'shma. But it's not, it's not the right maslul. It's not the right maslul, because we do things because we're falling in line with the Ratzon Hashem. Whether it's out of obedience or gratitude, or we understand what he wants us to achieve, and we're happy to do his will, and it's his will that we achieve these spiritual heights. But that's what it's about. And if we change the picture, if we change the goal, and we make the goal ourselves, so it's, even if we continue to do good things, so it's not the right way, and you have a problem. It's a problem. It's problematic. And hopefully, mitoch shelo lishma bo lishma, but you know, we said that the thing that will determine mitoch shelo lishma bo lishma, the Balei Musar say, is if that's your intention. If that's, you intend to grow, you intend, you know, right now, this is where I'm holding, I need the candy. But I hope certainly to get out of the situation where I need a candy in order to do what's right. And big people have their own candies. So, but if you're just happy with getting a candy, and that's all you see, then there's really no reason why it should be bo lishma. Like, what's going to lift you up and change your perspective? So anyway, so that's what this is doing in Shari Yichud HaMaisa. And the first one was the neshama is not nishar. We explained that at length, that there's nothing transcendent about our lives, and that's like the worst. And then there's no bori olam, and he talked about Hashem was bori the world. The world was not always here. There's a bori. When there's a bori, there's a plan, there's a goal, there's a reason, there's a purpose. He wants something. He wants to accomplish something. What does he want to accomplish? So, but if there's no borei, and it doesn't matter if you've ever thought about it and said, "Oh, if a person lives as if there's no borei, right, all there is the world, and there's no transcendent purpose." I'm not talking about now. The first transcendent was the transcendency of the soul, that there's more than just what you see. But now I'm talking about that what we do. But we do. I mean, you can believe in the neshama. You can believe in ghosts. You can believe in spirits, and the neshama will stay. And maybe it'll be a white neshama. Maybe it'll be a black neshama. You know. But if you don't believe in a borei olam, so there's no game plan, and there's no purpose, and it's not focused. And who said what's right and what's wrong? And maybe what you think is white is black, and what you think is black is white. So that was the second thing, that there's a borei olam. And he concluded by saying, and this is not pashut, the world is, we live in a very, very, very atheistic world. They don't want to use the word, but everything that's out there, every newspaper, every science book, every textbook, every conversation, it's like there's the world, that's all, and everything happens as cause and effect, and the teva, and the world is nohag. So we need Shabbos, as he said at the end of the paragraph, and at the end of number two, he said that's what Shabbos is. That's why Shabbos is so important, and that's Shabbos is not to rest primarily. Shabbos is not family time primarily. Shabbos is to remember and say Eidus, and you have to bang it into ourselves, right? Once a week, we have to stand up and say, Hashem made the world. That's the primary point of Shabbos. And really, you know, obviously, we're doing it more than once a week, but Shabbos, this whole day, the very existence of the day, how I conduct myself today, I'm Shoves because Hashem was Shoves when he made the world. It's a statement. It's a statement that Hashem made the world. The world didn't always exist. And whatever we see, and included as that is that there's no reason for anything to exist other than it's the will of Hashem. Which, you know, again, we don't think about it, so we don't really understand why the Chavis Halvavos and Rabbi Malinowitz was making such a big deal out of it. But a thinking Jew understands that this shtender is not here a second from now, because why not? It was here a second ago, and why should it disappear? It's here. Right, and we even talk about the eternity of matter, Adarabba, conservation of energy and matter. Like, why should it go anywhere? You know, so you say, no, just like Hashem was Bori the Olam, and from Ayin Liyesh, or Yesh Mei Ayin, so everything is always dependent on his Ratzon, every existence itself, everything. If the world will go back to the primordial state of nothingness, not even time, not even space, not even matter, nothing, which is really too difficult, probably, not too difficult, too abstract for the human mind to grasp what a state of nothingness is. It's not nothingness, it's all Hashem. It's Hashem. If Hashem would be mesalek his ratzon that there be a shtender here, so the shtender would just disappear, and there wouldn't be a law of conservation of energy and matter. Hashem made that law, and Hashem wills that law, and if Hashem would withdraw his will, so that law would no longer be a law. Every time we say the word, the law of gravity, the law of conservation of energy, Newton's second thermonuclear, whatever that is, what do you mean law? They didn't pass in the Knesset, they didn't pass it in Congress, it's in the world, it's a law, but someone had to make the law. right? So the law is a bad, not such a good word, unless adarabba, you say the word law, so you say, oh, someone had to make the law. Taka. The law didn't, a law means someone made the law. And then it's good to use the word law. So that's what Shabbos is. And, you know, when do we do it? We Kiddush. Oh, Kiddush. We say, you know, Kisheshes Yomim Asal Hashem Asal Shemayim Asoretz. Kiyom Tchulam. We don't even say in the long bracha. I don't even think it's said. No, it doesn't even say in the long bracha. We say Vayechulu. Maybe in the Zmiris we say it. In davening we say it. And but that's what Shabbos is, primarily. Okay, now we go on to the third thing. And again, it's going to look like, okay, it's not a gay us, we're not Christians, and we're not... the Chavis HaLovas came right after... Well, not right after, but... It wasn't that far after Pras. I don't know what these words mean, but they believed that there were two gods, primarily the god of evil and the god of good, or Choshech. It was a big belief. It was very pervasive, as much as nowadays. If you talk about the Christians, you know, talk about the Trinity, three godheads or whatever they say. I don't know what the words are, but the Persians had two forces. And this was the prevalent belief. And, you know, obviously it's a stirat Hashem Echad, but any shituf is Hashem Echad. If you think that Hashem puts matters on hold and he takes a nap, and there are laws of nature, which even if you say he empowered them, but now they're functioning on their own after he empowered them, that's wrong. It's also to think that way, it's also to say it, and it's not correct, it's incorrect. And it's a stira to Hashem Echad. And what is the Yetzer HaKir if you fail the theology test? Well, we saw in the beginning, all he has to do is get a foot in the door. Once Hashem takes a nap, once Hashem is not constantly observing us, and constantly he's the one that is the direct, well, the word direct can have many, he's the direct cause of everything that happens. Now, when I shoot an arrow, so I'm the direct cause. It doesn't mean it's indirect. If he uses certain forces in the universe to accomplish things, because if the Sheshis Yimei Breishis, he created a world of cause and effect, that's the world he created, and it's very rare that a nace, there's no more vayihi ar. No more. Chavis HaLovas says that in Shaar HaBitachon. And Hashem functions through channels. Not that he has to, but that he has chosen to. And Chavis HaLovas in Shaar HaBitachon explains why he has chosen to. But he has chosen to. And that's not called indirect. That's direct. The question of the intensity of Hashgacha Pratis, which some of you may know about, some of you may not know about, Ramban and Rambam and all different Shitas, and that's a question of how many channels he uses. And the more channels used, the more you need schuyos or schusim if you want to break free of those channels. If certain channels he uses to give you health, so you, in those channels, have a person getting sick three times a year. That's why Hashem made the world. Maybe he wants you to be sick so you could have some, so you can get a rest. Maybe he wants you to be sick so you can think about how you're always healthy. And now you're sick and you don't chap that you have to thank Hashem for being healthy. Let's say, I mean, I'm making up arbitrary numbers, but you want to break out of those channels. You want to have a life that you only get sick twice a year, or never, or once a year. So the more you're, this is what the Chavis HaLovas, well, not what the Ramban explains and Eov and others explain, the more you're in touch with Hashem, the more you're connected to Hashem, so the more the channels don't have to be the same channels that are used for everybody. There could be channels in which you don't get sick twice a year. And up till the stage, the Ramban says, where you could have Nisim. That's the Ramban. And Eov, that's extreme. Someone that communes with Hashem, that lives with Hashem, like a Navi, or someone on that level of just being totally, always living in the presence of Hashem, so that they can have Nevuah and do away with the channels totally. Al-Kaponim, but if you believe that everything's a channel, that's what you have to think of it. Everything is the way Hashem is doing it. Yes, there could be Hashgacha more klolis, there could be a Gzeira on a city, there could be a Gzeira on a country, there could be a Gzeira on an individual. All that means is that's the channel Hashem has chosen to use, and if there's a Gzeira, let's say, on a city, that there'll be a plague, Chas V'Shalom, in the city, or there's a channel on a country that it'll go to war. So you need, if you want to be saved from any pegara, whether it's in the Magefa or in the Bukhama, so you need that much more schusim if the channel being used is a more klali channel. There's going to be a Mulchama on the city, right? Or a Mulchama on the country. And then you want to break free of that. I'm giving a very cursory, maybe superficial, idea of Hashgacha Klolus and Pratis. The main thing is, and really, the people, there are those that make a mistake about this. Hashem does not give over the world to any other force. Even if you learn the Ramban and Achrei Mos, and it sounds like he's saying that, I shouldn't have told you about it. Now you're gonna run to learn the Baruch Hashem. I don't think anybody here is gonna run to learn the Ramban and Achrei Mos. I just have this feeling. But if you do, you'll see the Ramban and they'll say Malachim. It's all a question of the channels and how much Hashem is willing, so to speak, to change those channels or to make the channels have other results than he decided these channels should have. But everything is empowered by Hashem. Everything. Even the laws of anything. Even 1 + 1 = 2. Or that two objects can't occupy the same space at the same time. It's all because Hashem is doing that. Anyway, Shituf, what he calls Shituf, that's number three. Number one is there's no transcendence to the soul. Number two is no Borei Olam. Number three is Shituf. There are other independent forces in this world that exist. When the Yetzirah gives up from this second idea that the Olam is Kadmon, you refuse to study Aristotle, Yapilcha, he will try to be machshil you b'mine hashituf, in all different kinds of shituf. Shituf means a partnership, meaning there's another force, independent force. Maybe the word independent is superfluous. There's another force besides Hashem. Kemo das manichei haribui, those who actually talk about different forces, whether it's Balei Hashnios, which are the Persians, or das hanotzrim, b'shalosh, the Trinity, there's three, okay, but the das anshei hatolados, those are the people that believe in Teva, Mother Nature is a force. Bidas hapsoim mechose hakochovim, astrologers. It's not just a question of seeing the future. That's the question: is there something compelling that this is going to happen? And there's an independent force. And even if you're willing to say Hashem set it up as an independent force, but now he's ki'ilu powerless because Right? Like a person makes something and now he's powerless. He has no longer any say in how the thing works or in the running of the thing. But Hashem is never like that. So that's why the Chozei HaKochavim, Kefi Hischalkos De'osom, they themselves can't agree on what they're seeing. He doesn't spend much time on this. The Yetzirah tries, what does he gain? What do we accomplish? Anytime. The danger is when we think of, in our lives, we fall prey to this more often than we think. Not in a blatant, terrible way, but just, you know, any time that you, I mean, conceptually, anytime you become, something happens, and it's not so good, and you get really upset to the point of dysfunction. I'm not talking about a normal reaction, you know, a normal reaction. I'm talking about, there's always a line that should be a warning sign. If you become dysfunctional, you know, they say, no, Hashem did that. Hashem did that. It's not because he did this to me. I mean, taking this to its logical conclusion, this is what the Chavetz Chaim talks about, if someone messes you up, so your mind has to say to yourself, Hashem messed me up, so to speak, not this person. And I'm not really, my anger it should be directed against myself. Why did I deserve this to happen to me? And the person was just a shliach of Hashem. Will the person be punished if he did something wrong? Yes, because that's a different cheshbon, but it's not your cheshbon. And so anytime we go away from single-minded clarity that everything that occurs, events, existence itself, anything that exists in the world is dependent only upon Hashem, we're asking for trouble. We're moving away from the clarity of knowledge of Hashem. If it becomes clear to you, Ki Abori Yisbarach Echad Kadmon, he always existed. B'Meshach Kadam Lonam and Advar Matchilas Asefer Hazeh. He wants you to learn Shara Yichud. You know, he doesn't want you to skip it. So we talked about this in Shara Yichud, that the idea of there being two powers is not even a rational thought. Yosuru Kolei Lo Asfekos Mimcha. So again, he wants you to fight the Yetzirah here with Yoseichel, as he talked about in the first two things. He wants you to sit down and think it through and be convinced of what the Emes is. Why what?
If people take antibiotics and they think that antibiotics are going to cure them.
So that's that. So addressing your concern is the Gemara that says that when the Pasuk says in Mishpatim, "Verapo yirape," it's giving license to use medicine to become better. And
often people think it's the medicine that's making it.
Well, not as an independent force. The medicine works the way it works. It kills the bacteria, it kills the germs, however it works. But that's why you really, what we don't say, and if you open a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch or a Mishnah Brura, you will see it. And for some reason this fell out of favor in people's eyes. There's a tefillah you're supposed to say before you take medicine. There's a Yiratzin you're supposed to say, and it's in the Shulchan Aruch, and that's a good reminder that you don't fall into that trap. Okay.
I had a feeling in clinical therapy.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the second thing you said.
Therapy, I do healing. So what I say to people is that when Hashem sends you to the doctor or he sends you to the therapist or whatever, he's saying what you're experiencing is finished, and now you can use this shaliyah to make yourself better.
Yeah, and there's a reason it happened. Because maybe you could have been in the. Maybe it's your own fault. Maybe you didn't do good ishtadlus. You didn't eat the right foods. You didn't take care of yourself the way you're supposed to. That's all included in ishtadlus. A lot of times, I say Baruch Hashem, you know, we've society, history, humanity has reached a point, at least in the Western world, that much of sickness is really a gzeira on our money. It's expensive, right? But the cure is out there, and that's like a whole paradigm shift. You know, you may be supposed to have kavana by the bracha of borech aleinu instead of refainu. But unfortunately, sadly, there's, Stephen Jobs is not with us anymore with all of his money. So not everything can be cured with money. Okay, shituf is something that we think is not nogeya us, but it's kedai to think about and always reinforce that only Hashem is determining events or what happens or the station of your life, the events of your life, the circumstances of your life. And again, that's the whole interplay between hishtadlus and bitachon, and if someone messes me up, how I'm supposed to think about it. This is all, at length discussed in Shara Bitachon. He's not, he just throws out, go over Shara Yichud, go over Shara Bitachon. He's not reiterating everything now. Number four is v'chasher yisyoish b'mecha b'ponim ha'elu, when the Yetzirah finally gives up, he sees he's not getting anywhere here, but he doesn't get tired, he comes back. Yishtadel fatoscha mitzat chiyuv avodas habore. Now we're getting, I told you, he goes from the most abstract philosophy, and by the time he gets to the end of the perek, he's talking the most abstract, subtle in Ma'aseh. And now we're starting to creep into the world of a little of Ma'aseh, because he's saying, does Hashem really care? This is the what am I doing? Hashem, first of all, Hashem doesn't need me, he doesn't need anything I do. What do you mean avodas Hashem? Hashem doesn't need anything. What am I doing this for? And I'm telling you that a corollary of that is what you do hear people say, and unfortunately, you say, does Hashem really care if there's a black dot on the esrog? Does Hashem really care if I take off this little piece of dough and I burn it? I'm burning it anyway, what's the difference? And does Hashem really care this? And what does Hashem really care that? And everybody all of a sudden becomes experts in what Hashem cares about and what Hashem doesn't care about, and then someone else says, well, Hashem doesn't care about anything, he's too transcendent to care about anything. And what are we serving Hashem for? What are you serving Hashem? Hashem doesn't need anything. What are we doing? What's it all about? So, yishtadel lepatoscha to talk you into, mitzat chiyuv avodas habore. Okay, there's Hashem, and Hashem echad, and okay, I'll live my life, and he could live his life, and why do I ever have to interact with Hashem? I'm just aware that he's there, and that's fine, and I'll do what I'll do. And if he's not happy with me, I don't know, I guess he'll punish me, I don't know, but whatever. He has his, he's busy, I'm busy. What do you mean I have to be Oved Hashem? What do you mean I have to spend my life being Oved Hashem? Why do I have to be Oved Hashem for? Why? He doesn't need anything. He's a melech, he's the adon. You think he just arbitrarily commanded me to do things? And he doesn't need it. The Yom HaLachon, the Yetzirah will say, and he'll say it in different forms, as I said before. You think Hashem really cares about X, Y, Z? Baruch Hashem, it became easier to explain, how a Sefer Torah becomes puzzle, how Tefillah becomes puzzle, how if you say Kriya Shema one second after the time, so you ruined it. So people, now, because we have computers now, right? And if you leave out a dot, so it comes back, it doesn't go through. All you did was leave out one dot, or you got one letter wrong. So now people understand because they see a computer, and now they understand that it has, things have to be exact, or they're not going to work. Yishtadel patoscha mitzat chiyuv avodas habore v'yom lecha. Hashem doesn't care about a black dot. Hashem knows that a black dot on the esrog renders the esrog unable to function the way it should function. That's the sentence. Hashem wants it to work. Hashem wants it to accomplish something. It's not going to accomplish it if it has that black dot. Because it's not hodar, it's not no'er. Okay. In each mitzvah, you have to learn the mitzvah. And you have to try to figure out what is Hashem telling us here. Any avoda done from the oved to the nevad, to the object of the worship, it's the object of my worship, of my avoda, needs my avoda or my worship. By definition, Hashem needs nothing. So the avodos chalo ain lo tam v'lo ponim. Your avodos Hashem is worthless, pointless, silly. What are you doing? What are you doing, Hashem? He's questioning the rationale of doing mitzvahs. We know that Hashem told us to do it. He's not. We're going to keep learning other things. He will try to get you to doubt, but he's holding us. We know Hashem told you to do it, but he, nobody wants to do something. A human being is a rational machine, right? Nobody wants to do something that has no pshat. So the Yetzirah tries to get you there. Maybe you should, maybe you say, Hashem, I have to listen to him no matter what. The Yetzirah tries to weigh you down. We have a rational faculty to us, right? And Chazalot certainly wants the rational faculty to be always working, always functioning. So you say, what's the point of what you're doing? So now, Chayvus Halvavus gives a very interesting answer, and it's pure Chayvus Halvavus, and it's maybe not the answer we would give if I would ask now, what do you think the answer is? Because maybe he could have answered that you're supposed to go learn about the mitzvahs and see the value of the mitzvahs, and the value is to you, not to Hashem, but you want to connect that, and that's certainly a correct answer. The Chayvus Halvavus will give, though, a more overriding, overarching conceptual answer that governs his whole worldview. Because it is an answer to say that go study, whether it's Chinuch, or Mora Nevuchim, or Sham Shenafal Hirsch, and this is why the mitzvah should be meaningful to you, and they definitely should. The Chayvus Halvavus spends Shar Avodas Elokim, as we learned it, we learned Shabbos Elokim Sunday nights, which is now Sunday afternoon, 12:15, in the Schaefer home. We're learning Shara Bechina, right? If you want to come, we're learning next about childbirth. You're not going to know anything about childbirth if you don't come. You're going to hear a man talk about childbirth. So that's an answer. That's a mahalach. Learn about the mitzvahs. Or Hashem should call her. Or say chinuch. Learn. The answer is that Hashem's not doing it for his sake; he's doing it for our sake. That's certainly an answer. And we're not really being oved Elokim, I guess, in that sense, because the question's a good question. Hashem needs nothing, so we're not really being oved Elokim. We're being oved ourselves. That's not so good. And this is a very deep, deep question. And especially when you're learning Shaar Yichud HaMais, it's a very deep question. Because maybe it's not enough or good to say Hashem's doing it for our sake, because then we're caught in a conundrum. Because we don't want to do things for our sake. That's what Shaar Yichud HaMais is all about. So that has an answer, if you're with me and you've gotten the question. Because you say, well, I'm doing it for my sake, but I'm only doing it for my sake because that's Hashem's will. Because Hashem wants me to do things that I should be zochet to get to Olam Haba, and that's wonderful, and I'm doing it for Hashem's sake. I'm doing it as the will of Hashem. Hashem set up the system, and I want to be in consonance with His will. That's a good answer. Chavit HaLovas gives his worldview, and he says, And this is the Chayvus HaLavus that's said in Shaya Avodos HaLokim, that it's almost tragic if you don't study the mitzvahs and understand what you're doing and understand what it's supposed to accomplish and how it's supposed to transform you into a better person, a more spiritual person, a more loving person, a more caring person, a better person. Study, learn it. That's Shaya Avodos HaLokim. Don't just robotically do the mitzvahs. He says that Shaya Avodos HaLokim, but here he steps back and he says, you have to hear what's going on. And he says his yesod, which is Chayvus HaLavus, pure Shpitz Chayvus HaLavus, is that, what do you mean, why are you serving Hashem? Because you owe Hashem so much that overrides any question you have. If someone saves your life and says, I want you to stand on your head and clap your legs, you do it because that's your only way of saying thank you, and they just saved your life. And you say, thank you for telling me how I can say thank you, because I have no way to say thank you for saving my life. What am I going to do, give you $100? $1,000? My life is worth more than $1,000. So how do I thank you for giving me my life? The only way is really if I save your life. Okay, come here. And you push them into the traffic, and then you save them. Right? That's the firemen. They always catch the firemen, you know, doing arson and then being the heroes. So, and that's the Chayvus HaLavus' answer here. That we do it, we do it. Hashem doesn't need anything, but he said, "This is how you are going to thank me," and that's the. It doesn't say this in the Chumash. It doesn't say it in the Shulchan Aruch. This is the Chayvus HaLavus's world view of everything. Learn Shaar HaBechina, and then the whole Hakdama. The truth is, if anybody remembers Shaar Avodos HaLokim, the whole Shaar Avodos HaLokim talks about the tug of war between obedience and understanding what you're doing. That's the whole Shaar Avodos HaLokim. But the Hakdama to Shaar Avodos HaLokim, he writes a very long Hakdama, and the Hakdama is this Yesod. What's Avodos HaLokim all about? Why should I do it? Why should I be Oved HaLokim? Why? And the answer is not because or else I'm going to get it over the head. And the answer is not because or else I'm going to go to Gehenna. And the answer is not so that I should go to Gan Eden, so that I should connect with Hashem. The answer is, and it's not, you know, you're not doing it at gunpoint. It's almost as if we have to find, it's an impossible task. Impossible. We have to do it because we want to do it, but we have to do it not in service to ourselves, but in service to Hashem. But Hashem doesn't need anything. So the Chayvus HaLavus is like, bingo. Bingo. It's a way of saying thank you to Hashem. And every time we do a mitzvah, we should, that's what he wants. See, well, every time you do a mitzvah, the shleimus ha-mitzvah. Nobody's saying you're not yotzei if not. And even if it's incongruous, I say, you know, you go, you hear a shofar and shul, you know, taking challah is already easy because you could relate to saying thank you, because thank you for the bread. But any time you do anything, avodas Hashem, the avodas Hashem is saying thank you to Hashem. That's what it is. It's thank you for everything. And as we're learning now in Shaar HaBechina, thank you for existence. Thank you for inorganic matter. Thank you for organic matter. Thank you for food. Thank you for life. Thank you for humanity. And that's what we're up to. Thank you for humanity. And now we're up to humanity and how humanity functions. And soon he's going to say thank you for Jewish humanity. And that's just one small piece of everything that he talked about in the previous parak in Shaar HaBechina, what a person has to study. And you realize that if you spent your whole life just thanking Hashem, which the Malachim do, that's what the Malachim do. The Malach does. The higher Madrega doesn't bother with all of the P'ulos mitzvahs that we do. They just thank Hashem from morning to night. day after day for all eternity, as long as they're going to exist. Millions and billions, you see the numbers in the Gemara, of Malachim are just thanking Hashem. And then they give a patch on the shtender, on the celestial shtender, and they say, shh, I hear something down below. This is the description of the Medrash, and everybody, quiet. Everything's quiet. Yeah. Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzvakos, Melochol Haaretz Kvodo. And they hear Klal Yisrael saying that, or Yehesh Mei Rabom Avarach, Le'olam Le'meil Maya. And everybody starts cheering and applauding, and whatever happens, happens. You know, whatever happens in the celestial regions happens. So that's what his answer is. When the Yetzer Hara asks you, what are you doing? What are you doing? Hashem doesn't need anything. Say, you know, you're right. Your mom is right. But this is the only way I have of saying thank you. And Hashem, in his great, because a person is wired, and I said it many, many times, and I'll say it again. We're wired that we are terribly frustrated if we can't thank someone properly. And we go crazy if you're a mensch. Yeah, there are people out there that are not mentioned. That's true. There's people out there that are, that's sad. But a human being, the Chavis HaVodis shows in the Hagdoma to Shara HaVodis Elokim, is compelled and feels a debt of gratitude, as we call it. It's a debt of gratitude. There's something in me that's how we discharge the freebie that we got. Someone did something for me, so I show I'm grateful. I show I'm grateful, and that's what I'm giving back to them, because that's all Hashem wants. Hashem wants us to acknowledge that He did it, that He is the source of everything that is in the world, or the source of our breathing, our thinking, our walking, our talking, everything. He is the source, and we acknowledge that. Acknowledgement is thanks. Thanks is acknowledgement. It's the same word in Hebrew, hodo'ah. Hodo'ah is acknowledgement and thanks. And that's why we serve Him. That's it. The service is saying thank you, being grateful to Him. Now, He still doesn't need that. He did that because we are compelled to do that, and this is how we connect to Him, and all that is still true. But the overarching answer to the question of what is it all about, this is uniquely Chavis HaLevavos. You won't find this, I don't think, anywhere else. What is it all about? It's all about saying thank you. That's his yesod. Others for him say it's all about being godly. It's because they're talking about the specific mitzvahs, like this mitzvah, that mitzvah. This mitzvah accomplishes this avenue of spirituality, this mitzvah, and that's all true. And then in the Tanya, and you can learn more in Nebuchim, and you can learn Ramban, and you can learn, as I say, you learn all these things that explain the spirituality that's supposed to infuse you as you do the mitzvahs. And that's all true. But the Chazon HaLevavos, there's an overriding, overarching principle governing everything. Because that's already the pratim. But the klal is, we're like the malachim. We are supposed to spend our whole lives saying thank you. And anachlo maspikim v'holdos l'cha Hashem alokeinu v'alokei v'seinu alakas may elef alfei alof v'ribei yavavos pamim atavos shall see some avoseinu v'imanukas. We should be thanking Him what He did to our forefathers, our grandfathers, our great fathers, because how did we get here today? I just learned Chavis HaLevavos last night with the men, and he's talking about this. He talks about it from different angles throughout the whole Sefer, and he says, you know, if someone did a favor for your grandfather, and I said, you know, let's say when my father, Oliver Shalom, came to America, right? He came from Europe. He had no one here, basically, no penniless, came with nothing. Someone took care of him, right? Someone took him in, helped him find a job, ran him a shidduch, right? There's half people. So now, how do I feel about that person? Says the Chavis HaLevavos. I can't stop thanking the person that did a favor to my father. Forget about me. Right? So when we say Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu, we have to thank Hashem not only for our own lives, but we have a long history. We have to thank Hashem for being there, for Avram Avinu, and that's Elokei Avoseinu. We're thanking Him for everything, for history. And it's not just, so that's, imagine, not only, we can't catch up for ourselves, and then we have the whole Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu. Right, that's what we said. The Mitzrayim galtonu, we base on the Mitzrayim brov, zantonu v'sobekil galtonu mechevi, zantonu mideve milantonu mecheloyim brov, and amonim didi sonu. And then we say, "Hey, no, zruch mech milantonu chazodecha." And then we say, "Well, the chinu Hashem alkenu l'netzach halavai." We can keep going like this. So that's his answer. V'chasher tashkif b'sichlocha. Don't take anybody's word for it. Think about it. Al mesh akodam lanu, what we've learned previously. B'shar habechina. Right, he throws in a little plug for the Sunday shiur there. L'tovos l'alokim aleinu. U'v'shar chiyuv kabolos l'avodul l'alokim ba'avura. Which is the shar immediately after shar habechina is shar avodos l'alokim. Yosur hasofik hazeh. So you won't ask any more questions. Why do I have to do it for? This is the way I say thank you to Hashem. You want me to not thank Hashem? You want me to be an ingrate? You want me to be a kofli tov? U'techayev esnafshcha b'avodas alokim. That is the overarching reason to be ovid Hashem, because it's a way to thank Hashem. It's a way to say thank you.